Happy Sunday from Davis Broadcasting, from Columbus, Georgia, all the way to Eufaula, Alabama, and surrounding areas. This is your boy, Gerald G. Rat Riley. And I'm with my beautiful wife, my co-host, that is the most, Katasha Riley. Say something, please, Katasha Riley.
Good morning.
Hey, listen, and we are honored to be here today. And once again, we have a very exciting show for our listeners' audience today. And we're talking about a subject that's kind of personal to me. It's very personal to me. Today's conversation is entitled, The Black Church. Hashtag, what is up? Listen, like many of our listening audience today, I grew up in the Black church, the Afro-American church deep in the South. I can still remember, even as a little boy, going to Sunday school and vacation Bible school during the summer. And I remember my mother giving funds to the building fund and church dinners and playing volleyball and football after church. And some of my best sleep, I have to admit, was as a little boy, was in that church pew on Sunday. And, you know, it's personal because I was baptized in the Afro-American church. I sung in the junior choir in the Afro-American church. I was on the usher board as a junior usher in the Afro-American church. And so as you can hear, my listening audience, the Afro-American church was a very important part of my life. And it still is a very important part of my life, even today, listening audience. Now, but I have a question. What's up with the Afro-American church in 2022? I have a very special guest today, and he's my very good friend. He's my fishing buddy, and he is a local pastor here in Columbus, Georgia, to one of the fastest growing church in the surrounding areas. So my listening audience, could you please give a warm round welcome for Pastor Vincent Bell. Now, Pastor Bell, could you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hey, thank you, Mr. Riley and Sister Riley. I'm glad to be on with you guys this morning. I was born here in Atlanta, Georgia. I went on off to college in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I attended Johnson C. Smith University. I played football there. Also, I was in the United States Navy.
Awesome.
I've traveled the world. I've lived in New York, all around the world. I recently moved back here to Columbus with my wife and the family. We've been here now about 7 years, and we planted the Edge Church 5 years ago. So it's good to be in the great city of Columbus, Georgia.
Awesome, man. Awesome, man. Thank you for sharing that information with us. Now, Pastor Bell, if you don't mind, Pastor Bell, I would like to go ahead and dive on into today's Sunday conversation. The Black Church, hashtag, what is up? Now, Pastor Bell, our first question is, it may be a difficult question to answer, but we feel a need to ask it anyway. And so I ask you this question, Pastor Bell. What is going on with today's Afro-American church in 2022? Because what I see in the world today, I see that we do not have prayer in public schools. I see crime around the world is just at an all-time high. The jails are overfilled, and we're still, a lot of people don't understand, we're still in the middle of a global pandemic. We have school shootings, we have church shootings, we have mall shootings, and as of yesterday or the day before yesterday, I believe, we had a parade shooting. And so, in the words of that old Marvin Gaye, what's going on, Pastor Bell? What's going on today in the Afro-American church?
Man, I think the Afro-American church kind of got left behind. When the world and things in the world began to change, the Afro-American church did not change. Mm-hmm. I believe that the Afro-American church was married to the method instead of the message.
Okay.
What I mean by that is that as the time changed, how we did church did not change. And so now, since we did not change, half of them African-American churches is behind schedule, and that's why we're losing so many young people where they don't want to come to church anymore because we're still doing things that grandmama did at church. And so
wow.
What we got to do now, we got to warp speed ourselves back to and catch up with the world while we get and grab hold to these young people.
Wow, wow. That's powerful, Pastor Bill. Now, my beautiful co-host, Miss Katasha Riley, she would like to elaborate on that question as well.
About what's going on in the African-American church. I want to put a little spin on it because, you know, having time over the holidays and everything with the family, you're fellowshipping, and it actually just make you feel good to be able to see your family, draw strength from that. And now with the church, because of what we experienced with COVID and not being able to go inside the church, that now it's like the church is internet-based, and the fellowship has stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has changed the dynamics of worship. If you look at it, you know, people will say, well, I get church on, you know, on television or on a podcast. But that's not really what God intended church to be. It's fellowship. It's just like going to grandmama's house and you seeing all your uncles and aunts, your cousins and everyone, and you actually able to laugh, touch, you know, hug or whatever. It actually just draws strength, and it has changed. We have to get back to fellowshipping inside the church to just be able to manifest things in a more powerful way.
Can I add on to what?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
The Bible says, forsake not to assemble yourself together in the house of the Lord. And so God made us. God made us to be relational people.
Okay.
He was relational when he made us.
Right.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. So inside of us is an opportunity and a desire to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because what have happened when COVID came, COVID was really not so bad as people think it was, but it did a whole lot of things for the black church.
Mm-hmm.
You found out where people real worship is at. Because we got to understand God is relational, and we are relational people. And therefore, we need to feel the touch of other people. We need to be able to see the voice, hear the voice of other people, because God made us. We were designed that way. We were designed in a relational way. And people are everywhere else. They go to Walmart. They go to wherever they want to go, but they won't come to church because they think they've got comfortable. They've got comfortable with looking at it on TV. They've got comfortable with looking at it on the internet, but they're missing that key ingredient. And that key ingredient is being among the brothers and the sisters in Christ and have that ability to touch and see people, because that's what we desire as humans.
Okay, awesome, awesome, awesome. Great answer, Pastor Bell, and beautiful Katasha Riley. And that leads me to my next question. I'm glad you guys said some of what you guys said. My next question, Pastor Bell and Miss Riley, what happened to the power of the African-American church? Because historically, well, I get into that later. Because when I drive around town, I see a church on every corner. Every corner around this city, there is a church. Now, I remember I was a little boy when Dr. King was assassinated, but I do know that Dr. King united a nation of Afro-American churches. And he showed America, all America, not just black America and white America. He showed all of America the power of unity with a nonviolent presence. And so I ask you, Pastor Bell and Miss Riley, what has happened to the power of the black church? I surmise this right here. Has the power of the black church been substituted for Michael Jordan or TikTok or the influencers? Do they carry the power now instead of the black church? Go ahead, Pastor Bell.
I think the black church, in some instances, because we don't want to unify. We have pastors that have started churches because they was unhappy at the other place that they was worshiping at. And so now everybody wants to be the leader.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of us unifying the body of Christ, instead of us standing at one united force,
uh-huh.
Part of kind of weaken the black church. But at the same time, we do have other black churches that are still praying, that are still having prayer meetings, that are still
mm-hmm.
gathering together, that are still getting together to read scripture. And some black churches have become impotent, in that they're powerless because they're more concerned about outside forces than what God is calling the church to do. And because of our young people are more intelligent now, and the more intelligent we get, the less we think we need God.
That's so true.
It should always be the opposite way, because the more intelligent we get, we should understand we need more of God. We need more of God now than we did when we was growing up. Because I share with my teenage daughters now, I would not be a teenager now.
Right.
Because when I was growing up, we had Deacon Swift, who would gather the kids together and bring all of them to church.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole neighborhood, the whole village would make sure that we were doing what we were supposed to be doing.
You're right.
But now we got these modern parents. They don't want you to say anything to their kid. You can't address their kid. But back then, the strength was bought by the mothers in the church, the deacons of the church, and the pastors, because the pastors really cared about people. They didn't care about the number of how many members of what they had. They cared. They were genuinely cared about people. They took care. The churches took care of our community.
You're right about that, Pastor. And I'm going to let Ms. Riley talk, but I remember as a little boy growing up in the church, I remember the ushers in the white dress, and they had a badge on. and it was like they were the sheriff of the church. They would make you take your gum out and sit down and be quiet. And those ushers in those white dresses with the white gloves, man, they had power.
Right.
They would look at you a certain way, and you would sit your butt down. And your mama and your daddy weren't saying nothing because they had that badge on. And that badge means they had authority.
Right.
But go ahead, Ms. Ryder. I know you were about to say, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No,
and those white gloves.
I know them.
I just believe that as a leader, a good leader knows how to lead, but also knows how to follow. And coming from, you know, a church that is fivefold ministry, everybody has their place, and it's the body, and everybody has to work together for that body to be able to function. And it just can't be, you know, two heads bumping and causing confusion, you know, in the ministry. Everybody, you know, has to know that the church has to be regulated just like on your job.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, it's just people think that it's just a free willy. It's because they don't have to sign anything, you know, to join. It's free will. But at the same time, you know, God is, a God of order. And we have to, you know, respect the order of who God is given, you know, that power or that authority to. It doesn't mean that you don't have any, but it's definitely where, you know, it's designed to be respected for it to be able to function all together in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. My wife, I want to go back to something my wife said. My wife said, it can't have two heads. My mother always taught me as a little boy growing up that anything that has two heads is considered a monster. Okay? Because God is the head. But with what happened to the power of the African-American church leads me to my next question, Pastor Bell. Now, I remember as a little boy, my mother dragging us all around town in the state of Florida going to tent revivals. And I remember in the tent revivals, we had deliverance service. And I remember hearing about Azusa Street Revival and stuff like that. I don't see that anymore, Pastor Bell. And I ask you today, where are the tent revivals? Where are the deliverance service? Where is the 2022 Azusa Street Revival? Where is it at today in 2022, Pastor Bell?
Well, some churches have over-modernized.
Mm-hmm.
There are some things that we should have kept from the old church. We should have kept prayer. We should have kept prayer meetings. We should have kept fasting. And we should have kept tarrying.
Mm-hmm.
I remember growing up as a little boy, they would put us on the morning bench, as they would call it, the first pew in the church. And we would have to stay there until we felt the power of the Holy Ghost fall upon us. And sometimes, you know, to be honest with you, when I was a little boy, I didn't want to sit in the front of the church. I wanted to sit in the back with my friends. So I would fake it. I would fake like the Holy Ghost fell on me, so I can get off that front pew because I wanted to go to the back. So I believe that have taken place in a Black American church is that now we got a whole lot of people faking it.
No.
They're faking they got the Holy Ghost when they don't.
No.
They're faking they got the baptism of the Holy Spirit when they don't. But we're faking it. And because we're faking it, the power of God is not moving. So what we're going to have to do as pastors and leaders to prayer, we got to lead them back to fasting. We got to lead them back to tarrying until God begins to speak and release the power back into the Black American church.
Wow.
But he still want to do his work. He still want to heal. He still want to deliver. He still want to set free. He still want miracles to happen, because he said in his word before he left, he said, "These works and greater works shall you do, for the power never left the church."
Right.
Wow.
What happened is the power of the Holy Spirit have not infiltrated those in the church. Because we got to understand, it's a gift.
Right.
Miracles and healing and deliverance and speaking in tongues, all those are spiritual gifts.
Mm.
And so God do not give us anything we don't want. So what have happened in the modern day church, some of us have not wanted the gift of those spiritual gifts that God has left for the body of Christ. They don't want to be empowered, because when you become empowered, that comes responsibility and accountability.
Mm. Right, right.
That's deep.
Do you have anything to say, Miss Riley?
No, I just want to know where, if those demons ain't being cast out, where they at?
My beautiful.
They're embodying our people. They're
right.
Running around loose. Here in the city is, there's a murderous spirit over the city of Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of all those things that happened back in the other day, and the church never took the opportunity to take their rightful position and controlling those demonic spirits. We have the power to do so because God said we had it. We just got to stand bold and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Listen, Pastor Bear, the word of God says that where two or three are gathered, so am I in the midst. And so I ask you this question, which is a segue to the next question. Can we, as the Afro-American church, can we unify the church today? Because I see a lot of energy around the Afro-American church, but I don't see a lot of synergy in the Afro-American church as far as all of us coming together for one cause. You said there was a murderous spirit in the city. Can we come together and collectively as the Afro-American church and pray against that spirit, whether it be murder, suicide, whatever spirit is present? Can we come together collectively and pray against that spirit in 2022?
I believe we can. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together unless they be agreed?" If we can get every pastor in the city, regardless of their faith tradition, for us to come together on this one particular goal, and that is crushing those demonic spirits that's over the city of Columbus, I believe we can do it. Don't worry about what church you came from. Don't worry about what your faith tradition is. We're coming for one goal. The Bible says that one can put 1,000 on flight, and two can put 10,000 on flight.
Mm-hmm.
So we can get pastors to get their congregation together, and we're coming together to pray for one particular goal. I believe it can be done, because there's power and agreement.
Yes, there is.
Because what that says is that when we're coming together and we have this one particular goal that we're praying for, and God recognizes that, and God is present in that, and God is all powerful in that. Because if Brother Riley, if you are praying, and Sister Riley is praying, and I'm praying, and everybody that's connected to us praying in the same scripture and praying the same prayer, that becomes powerful, and God moves in that. He moves because of our heart. He moves because we're in agreement that this is what we're praying for, and this is what we want to see happen.
Anything you have a comment on that, Ms. Riley?
I definitely agree with what Pastor Bell is saying, and I remember back in the day when we got ready for a revival, one of the things that we did is we prepared for the presence of the Lord with fasting and praying for the expectation of the Holy Spirit showing up and showing out. And that's definitely a choice, but the responsibility of it and the results of it for me was great growing up, and I still use that same, you know, remedy today and to get results, to, you know, to get things done, to get things moved. It's a movement, and we in the body of Christ, we have to learn how to move as a unit, just like soldiers in the army. We have to learn how to move as a unit, and when we don't, that's when the enemy is able to get into those cracks and crevices and do what he does, you know, concerning the people. So we are more powerful together, as you would say, Pastor Bell, hashtag we're better together.
Go ahead on Miss Riley. That's my soldier sitting next to me on Sunday conversation with the Riley. That's my soldier. Now on to the next question, Pastor Bell. Now, historically, the Afro-American church and the Afro-American barbershop, I'm a barber by profession, have always been the pillars and the anchors of the black community. And both of them have always been in well respected. And so it's a two-part question for you, Pastor Bell, and my beautiful wife, Katasha. Does the Afro-American church still have the respect of the black community? And part two, how can we fix it if not? Go ahead, Pastor Bell.
I think that we don't have the support of the community like we used to have because of certain things that have happened. Let me say it this way. My theory is this. If your church is in a community, and if your church move or close, and the community does not miss your church, your church was never part of that community. So in order to get the community back, the church has to be involved in the community. That means the church should not always be taken from the community, but the church should be depositing stuff into the community.
Preach.
What I mean by that is that when I grew up, the church was always open. They never locked the doors to the church. The church was always open. You can go to the church anytime and pray. You can go to the church anytime and get some help. So what needs to happen, I know we're not living in that kind of time because of the society that we live in.
Right.
But the church should be open. The church should be open to its community.
Wow.
Because if it was me, I don't want to know about the gospel and my stomach growling. Feed me. Feed me, then teach me the word of God. Meet my need before you preach to me. So the community now want to know how much you care before they care how much you know.
Yes. You know, Pastor Bear,
we have to deposit into the community in which we're in. And I know we're going to get a lot of people that's going to come and not need any help because we have those people.
Right.
But God said, did you feed me? Did you clothe me? Did you visit me? We got to make sure that we meet those needs of our community. And every need of the community, every need is not the same in every community that you go to. So in order for you to know what the need is, watch this. You got to get out there in it.
I'm so glad you said that, Pastor Bell, because like I said earlier, my profession is as a barber. And I have, there's so many different type ministers that come into barbershops and beauty shops and stuff like that. And I see a certain type, and they're in the suit and tie, and they sit down. They don't conversate with the customers. They don't conversate with the barbers. They just come there, get the hair cut, and then leave. And I be talking to myself saying, you know, pastor, minister, or bishop, whatever, you just missed an opportunity. A very important opportunity to spread the word of God outside of those four walls. My pastor teach about being relational and being able to be for the people to be able to come up to you and talk to you, and you interact with the people. And so many times, you know, we talk about respect of the black church or the black minister. So I can't say so many times, but sometimes we miss it. We miss the opportunity to share the gospel because we're so holy.
Right.
You understand, Ms. Riley?
Right.
You want to go ahead and say something, Ms. Riley?
I was just, you know, thinking about, you know, what you were saying. And a lot of times I think that when people do miss it, it doesn't have to be where it has to be, you know, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But
right.
You can miss the opportunity just to have a word of righteousness.
Oh, yes.
And talk to people about righteousness, especially our young people. It's like the system of the kingdom of God has a system, and the system has to be updated. And so if you have not updated into 2020, and you're still operating in 79, then how are you going to be able to reach the community? And most of what's going on in our community is based off of the young generation.
Wow.
With the violence and with the crime. So they're not going to listen to you. I don't care how you can, preach to church, into heaven. They're not going to listen because they have nothing to identify with themselves. It's about identity. Most, I believe, it's working in the community and looking at our young people, working with our young people, that most of our young people have this issue that they have is because it's an identity issue. So it has to be relatable so that they can be able to, we could be a bridge to them to relate to Christ. And the example is us. So if we say nothing, they not going to change. You have to talk to them. You have to be relatable. You have to find out. You can't be where you never turn the TV on BET. You never turn the TV and find out what's going on. I don't want to say this on Sunday, but they got this show called P-Valley. These young people watching this stuff. You better find out what's going on so that you can be relatable to actually turn them down at least 2 or 3 notches to get somewhere with them. It is important.
I don't know nothing about Uncle Clifford. I'm not going to say nothing about that. I'm not going to say nothing about Uncle Clifford. But listen, Pastor Bear, we have a couple of statistics here for ministers. And I just want to go over some of these numbers, and I want to know whether or not you agree with them or, your comment. It says that 38% of the pastors in ministry have thought about leaving the ministry. It says that 25% of the pastors in ministry marriages will end up in divorce. And 250 ministers each month leave the ministry. Pastor Bell, those are some very shocking numbers for ministry. Would you please comment on something?
We as pastors, ministers of the gospel, there's 2 things that we got to learn. We got to learn balance, and we got to learn self-care. At some point in this, God never called us to put the church first.
Mm-hmm.
God is first. Our marriage and our family is second.
Mm-hmm.
Then the church.
Mm, powerful, powerful.
And you can love God from anywhere.
Mm.
And so what have happened is, since we want to, I would say, quote unquote, please God, we want to spend more time at church. We leave our families behind. We're not taking time out for ourselves. And so now we have medical problems and medical issues. And those people that we was pressing upon to pray for, to visit, they're going on by them business, by themselves. And so we as African-American pastors, pastors anywhere, any color, any race, we got to have self-care. We got to take care of ourselves.
Right.
And we got to take care of our family. I know some pastors who was so concerned about the church more than he was about his family, and now his family can't stand the church.
Wow.
Now they see the church of taking their father or their mother away from them.
Wow, wow.
Because there was no balance.
Wow.
So as I look at that, yes, pastors are quitting because their pressure, they can't handle the pressure. They commit suicide. And you didn't talk about that. How many pastors have committed suicide?
Wow, we did.
Because of the pressure of the church, because there's no self-care. We got to have something to do besides church.
Mm.
Like I tell my friends, I don't want to get together and talk about church all the time.
Mm.
Let's talk about football. Let's talk about what's going on in your life. Let's talk about these young people. Let's talk about what's going on in the world.
Right. Wow, wow.
Because Sister Riley said a great word. Are we relational?
Wow.
Can the young people relate to us?
Right,
take
right.
Take off the suit. Take off the coupling. Take off the nice jewelry. Let's put on some blue jeans. Let's look at some TV shows Let's get the lingo down. Why would it be relational to these young people? Why would it save them? Because they need to see that they can, you can still be cool and be safe.
Right, right. Let's learn the electric slide.
Yeah. Yeah, let us have them do the electric slide, the wobble, or whatever they're doing now. Line dancing. Yeah, you
got
to be relatable, man.
Right, we do.
Involved with them.
Awesome, awesome. I'd like to thank our special guest, Pastor Vincent Bell of the Edge Church, and my beautiful wife, Katasha Riley. My name is Gerald Riley, and you have just been entertained with Sunday Conversation. Thank you, and you have a blessed day. Peace!
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.